Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Welcome to The Pocket Show on the British Tech Network. I am here with a repeat panel from a couple of weeks ago, which I would like to dub the Pocket Show All-Stars.
Because we got the band back together,
we got the band back together. So in kind of a nice way, it wasn't supposed to be like this, actually. Dave Hamilton was supposed to be on tonight. And because of WWDC and all that kind of stuff, we've had to switch around. So Dave Hamilton will be on next week. And so we've switched who we were going to have on next week in this week, which is Alison Sheridan. I have NoSilicast. I pushed the S there. And she is joining us this evening, which is great because I really appreciate it, Alison, you jumping in just last night. We managed to switch that around, so it's really very good of you. But the positive side of this, all this is, because that was quite negative, the positive side of all this is that we've got James and Chris and Alison back together, which I think last time we did this was a couple of months ago now, I think.
Yeah, it's about 2 months ago.
So they said it would never happen.
But we're here. So, Alison, we'll start with you. How are you upon this fine evening or probably lunchtime as you?
Doing fantastic. Looking forward to this. This is I think it's a great panel, and I do want to make sure Dave Hamilton knows that he owes me one for bailing him out here, you know.
Get him, Alison. Get him.
Well, you're very welcome to. I could send him some of the recordings from before the show just to make sure he knows how you feel. The other voice, of one of the other voices you heard there was, of course, Chris Ashley from SMR Podcast. How are you this evening, sir?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic. What's up to my minions? What's up to all my new fans from the British Tech Network? And what's up to you guys? So happy to be back. I'm having such a good time every time I come on here. So
that's good. That's good. And this is your first of two appearances in the British Tech Network this week as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to do the other show as well, since those guys were gracious enough to have me back. They must have gone through everybody in the phone book and said, all right, we're going to bring the big man back. A few laughs.
You're a regular now, Chris.
Yeah.
Almost. I think one more. You know, it's kind of like that dynasty rule. You got to have those three wins in a row, and then you become a dynasty in the in any sport franchise. So I'm working on my dynasty on the British Tech Network.
I think there's only kind of two shows that your Windows knowledge base would fit on, because the only other shows we have is a Mac show. Apparently, there is a Windows show in the works, though. So you never.
Well, if you need a heckler, I'm your guy.
And of course, we've got a veteran. While we're talking about sports metaphors, we've got a veteran of the British Tech Network here, Mr. James Hart. How are you, sir?
Very well. I wish I had minions.
They're great.
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you very much. Yes, finally, I've done quite a lot of travelling over the last little while to foreign parts and not quite so foreign parts, but I'm back in Blighty and back doing, after the wonderful bank holiday weekends of Easter and May, back to 5-day weeks, which I'm not so keen on.
Yeah, that's not good. But I prefer those. I'm a contractor, so I don't get paid if we have a holiday. I'm very against days off and things like that. So. All good. Anyway, on to the show. We have a lot of good stuff. We actually have some iOS news, as I'm sure everybody's fully aware. WWDC happened last week. We've got some news around some Tizen phones coming out from Samsung as well. But first of all, we're going to open up with Amazon's announcement or their invitation to a possible announcement. They are hosting an event in Seattle on June the 18th. They have released a teaser trailer, which is essentially a bunch of quote-unquote customers, which I'm going to question that, but that's fair enough.
In a Microsoft way.
Yes, indeed. looking at a device that's just slightly off of screen, moving their heads a lot, in a fashion that makes it look like it's tracking them in some way. At the end, you actually can fill in a form to be invited to the event, which I think is a pretty big deal in itself. But we'll talk about that maybe in a second. But have you guys all watched the video of the whatever this is that Amazon's releasing?
No, I haven't watched it.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, you're not really...
Well, the question is, Paul, can you fast forward through the video so you can get to the form?
No. written about. What's a YouTube video? Actually, you could do. Yes, you could get to the four by the end. All it is it's little kind of talking heads, maybe a second each, and they're all just making like expressions of interest and excitement and all sorts of things. Like I would really use this a lot, and whoa, and wow, and all this kind of stuff. It just appears a little too staged for my liking.
Yeah, they gotta make a big splash though. I mean, if they're jumping into what we can assume is a phone with into a crowded market,
yeah,
where you know there's two big bullies out there already, yeah. And then you got the you know a third guy trying to make his little bones, and now you're gonna jump in there while you know the old guard is still trying to hang on for dear life. So they've got to do whatever it takes to make a big splash with this thing. And it seems with their rumors of their 3D controls and that should be interesting. So I'm looking forward to see what they actually go ahead and announce.
So what do you think about the whole 3D thing? I mean, are you interested at all in this? Could this actually be something interesting in any way, shape, or form? I can't get my head around it at all.
Well, I'm a geek at heart, but so all that type of conversation really does intrigue me. However, being a guy that works from home, and I dumped my home phone over a year ago, and I strictly use my cell phone at home and for work, and so some of the features that could be possible, because sometimes I leave my phone on a wireless charger, mm-hmm. and you know the battery's almost dead and I don't necessarily want to pick it up, so being able to just kind of reach over and maybe swipe my hand across to do something, or hover my hand over to execute something else, that those type of things do absolutely interest me for my lifestyle. Now, will it hit mass appeal and take over the world? I don't know. You know, but and I'm sure they don't know either. But if they have their way and Microsoft has their way, it will. But it's definitely in this world today, you definitely got to come up with something that's different than everybody else. And those type of things would definitely fit the bill.
So that
what does 3D do for a phone? I don't get it. I don't like 3D movies to start with, so maybe I'm biased against it. But why do I need 3D on my phone for games?
This is the thing that I'm not getting either. I totally agree with everything you said there, Chris. I like that idea. I think the Samsung Galaxy S4 and S5, I believe, both had those kind of swipe over features and things like that. But this appears to be more about, and certainly the way that the people are reacting in the videos, it seems to be more about something happening on the screen as opposed to you being able to do things on the screen. I've watched this video a couple of times just to kind of try and see if there was any clues as to anything that could be happening. And the people don't appear to be sort of moving their shoulders to suggest that they're moving their hands over it, because obviously they're kind of forearms and hands and the devices off the screen. It is all about they're moving their face around, and there's one in particular where the guy's kind of almost looks as if he's looking at the side of the device and then coming back to the front of it. It definitely appears to be something happening on the phone as opposed to you doing something in the 3D space around the phone.
Well, yeah,
I guess there's a risk of pocket dialing.
Sorry, say that again, James.
I guess there's a risk of pocket dialing. Sorry, no, Chris, you go for it.
More pocket dialing.
Crash! Yeah, more pocket dialing, or more accidental waving dialing. It's bad enough my kids shouting, "Okay, Google," as soon as I get my tablet out.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing that interests me as well is with a 3D interface, because I guess there is two aspects to 3D on a phone. One is viewing stuff, which honestly, I agree with you, Allison, I can tell, is that watching a 3D movie on my phone is just not in the cards for me.
No.
But in this day and age where, you know, at least for me, I'm becoming even more tethered to my phone. Like, I'd prefer to lose my wallet before I lose my phone.
Yeah.
That's how tight I am.
Really?
Into my phone. Absolutely.
Really? You'd rather go to the DMV than go buy a new phone and suck all your data back down from the cloud?
Absolutely. Because when I lose my phone, I feel like I lost an arm. When I lose my wallet, I'm like, I just got to make a couple files. It really hits me differently. I've lost my wallet probably twice. Well, I had it stolen once. So three times over the last 5 years. And I've lost two phones. One I left on an airplane, and one it fell out of my pocket while I was riding my motorcycle. And I was way more devastated over my phone loss, even though everything's in the cloud. It's easy to go get. But I just treat my phone differently. And that's why I prefer, if, you know, a lot of my content and my wallet could be moved to my phone. But so there is two aspects of it, is the interaction with it, but also the visual part of it, which is what you're alluding to. But I could see an instance where I'm looking at my phone and I can get more data because some of it is presented in 3D. You know, so maybe you look directly at the screen, you see a meeting, and then kind of off to the, if you kind of tilt your head or you kind of move the phone to the side, you can actually see the content of that meeting without actually having to click on it. That, you know, I don't know what they're going to do with it, but that's why I'm interested to see how they're actually going to implement this and make this something into really cool.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, okay. I can kind of see that a little bit. But one of the big things that I do in meetings, or one of the main things I do in meetings, because I hate meetings and I don't like doing them, is if I'm sitting there, I kind of like to, you know, tilt my phone just a little bit, just so I can read what's maybe going on, or you know, the app right. messages or the tweets or stuff like that. And if I'm getting a completely different interface, if it's sitting at a funny little angle, that's totally going to ruin it.
Right, but what if you could tilt it and get a summary of all the information you're looking for? You know what I mean? As opposed to one specific thing. Yeah, who knows? Or if you can control what you see. But what I'm saying is, you know, that 3D aspect, it allows for more information to be presented to you, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah,
so,
it potentially does.
Sure, potentially,
still,
of course.
Yeah.
I think people will have to put a fair amount of thought into what they do with it, because otherwise it will just turn into really irritating transitions. You'll swipe and it will just do some crazy 3D animation. Or it'll just expect you to do that thing where you hold your phone up to a building and it sort of takes you in, you know, it's virtualization thing that people have been trying to do for years, but I don't think I ever use it.
No. I love the idea of it, but I don't think I would ever use it. There's a guy at my work, I'm going down a little tangent here, but there's a guy at my work that was just showing me a game that he plays on Android, and it's all part of Google Plus and things like that, and he's part of a team, I forget what it's called now, I'm probably going to be people listening to this.
Niantic thing, is it? Oh yeah.
I remember what it's called, but
I did that for a while, but lost interest, because it's basically like, it's like geocaching, isn't it? You've got to capture.
But it's digital geocaching. Yeah, it's yeah, so it's like all these kind of monuments.
Ingress.
Yes. So there's all these monuments around Edinburgh, and he's in the green team, and there's like a blue team and a red team or something like that. And they're currently trying to take all these things, and that's really cool to me. Apart from the fact that it means that I have to get up and do something. And that's just not on my agenda at all.
You have to go into the real 3D world.
I know.
You don't have to talk to people, do you?
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I'd be out after that.
Yeah.
There are real live fights and everything.
I know, there really are. There was
You do get sort of people who coalesce into the same place. It's quite interesting I think there has to be a critical mass of people interested in it. Otherwise, you end up standing there just going, well, what am I supposed to do? Nobody wants this.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to work down where I live, because everybody around here is scared of technology. And if I go outside wearing like a Bluetooth headset or something, everybody starts screaming, witch, and chasing me down the street. I think if you did it in Edinburgh or Glasgow.
I need to make a little interruption here. I direct messaged Dave Hamilton and I told him he owes me for taking the spot here. And he said, that's one hell of a show. I think you owe me for making the spot available.
Wow. We got you. He turned it around on you.
I had to say, made a good point. Okay. All right. Hey, let's get back on the agenda. We got things to talk about here.
Things to talk about. But quickly, before we move away from this one, I'm just curious, are any of you even remotely interested in picking up an Amazon phone? Let's start with James. You're the Android guy. What's your thoughts? Is this on the agenda at all for you?
On the reverse, it's completely not on my agenda. I have absolutely... The Kindle, I could probably be tempted to buy one because people tell me really great things about it. Mm-hmm. It's a perfect place to do one thing really well. But for me, I've got what I need out of a phone. What's Amazon going to give me that I haven't already got?
Fair enough. Chris, what's your thought?
Out of curiosity's sake, I would pick one up just to play with it.
Right.
But I you know where I lie. I'm Windows Phone all day, so switching is not in the cards for me. Yeah. But I would probably check one out.
Cool. And Allison, what's your thoughts?
Well, it seems to me like this is very likely to be the phone for normal people, where they would get more out of it. So we've seen data that says that the Android phones, people don't tend to surf as much. They don't tend to buy as many apps, except when you start looking at something like the Kindle Fire, all of a sudden you see a lot of people spending money on movies and books and all that kind of stuff. So if an Amazon phone could start to tap into that for regular people, I think that might be the market. So that's pretty much none of us, because we probably all spend twice what we should on apps and movies and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
And that plays entirely
so the answer is no.
Amazon's hand.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Amazon wants, isn't it? They want to be able to get it for their loyal subjects to give the people what they want.
Mike Elgin on Twit this week, or last week, referred to the Amazon Kindle Fire as a cash register for Amazon services. And it's perfect. It's a perfect description, right?
Absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, when we talk smartphones, we talk platforms, right? Mm. And Apple has a fantastic platform and ecosystem. It's probably a better word. Android, of course, has a great ecosystem. Windows Phone is building up an awesome ecosystem. And Amazon's working backwards. They had the ecosystem, but they didn't have the devices.
Now
they got a tablet. Now they come out with a phone. All of a sudden, they have an extremely viable ecosystem.
They totally do. And I spend a huge amount of money with Amazon. Probably one of the main, if you take it hardware out of the equation, that's maybe unfair. But I probably, equal to Apple, spend the same amount of money with Amazon because I buy almost everything from Amazon.
I bet I spend more with Amazon. I mean, every once in a while, somebody sends me a link and it's not to Amazon. I'm like, oh, there are other stores.
But the point is, though, is that you can do that without needing an Amazon phone. That's the thing that baffles me.
Yeah.
My wife is going to be perfectly happy. She's not my wife. We have an Amazon man round every day, practically.
Yep.
Right.
I don't know if that's
hi, Bob.
Same guy every time. And but my wife isn't going to change her phone. Probably ever, but if she does, it's not going to be to an Amazon phone, I don't think.
Yeah.
She's either tech savvy or has a highly tech savvy person in the house.
Yeah.
Right.
So and that's not normal.
Yeah. But you say that.
My parents have both got iPads, and I don't think anything will stop me from having the iPad because it's, and that you can do Amazon purchases on as well.
But how did they get iPads?
Funnily enough, one of them, my sister suggested my mum get an iPad, and now she doesn't go on her computer anymore, and my dad part exchanged his car for one.
What?
He's got to the stage where he doesn't want to drive anymore, so he sold his car for, I think, £2,500 and an iPad.
Nice, right, okay.
Wow.
All right.
You wouldn't get that with an Amazon phone.
No, you wouldn't. However, the Amazon phone...
Then that's going to be key, too, with the price, so...
I imagine I don't know
if Amazon's going to be looking to switch people over. I think there's still a huge market of people on dumb phones that they can go after.
Yeah.
You know, you see all the growth that Windows Phone has is around the low-end market. Obviously, Apple is dominating the high-end market, and Samsung's just dominating in general. So, Amazon.
Being a shopfront, Amazon can afford to sell it really cheap because they know they'll maybe make their money back through the purchases through it. So
they can definitely make it a loss loser.
And another thing to consider about the Amazon phone, certainly with the Kindle Fire, is the touch area for accessing apps and things like that is huge. I just got my grandfather a Kindle Fire, much as it pained me because I would have preferred to get him an iPad. But he's got old man, massive fingers, and he can't hit the buttons very well on an iPad, but because the Kindle Fire has that massive big target area right in the middle of the screen, it's absolutely perfect for him. And Skype, when he goes into Skype, the little contact cards for Skype are huge as well. And so, because he Skypes his friends up north near Aberdeen.
Cool.
Mm. And he just sits in his seat and he hits these massive big targets and it works perfectly for him and he loves it.
But see, Paul, that's exactly what we should be looking at, is what works for you, right? Mm-hmm. That works great for your grandfather. You know, I think it's awesome that he's off doing, well, your grandpa's probably like a year younger than me, but, you know, the fact that he's using technology, using a tool and it's making him happy, there's nothing wrong with giving him an Android device. I mean, that's awesome. Yeah.
And actually, funnily enough, it's driven me to think that about my dad in another way, because he's basically moved over from a phone with a little keypad. It was an HTC, it was the HTC one that's connected to Facebook. But he saw my phone and said, wow, that's brilliant. That's really good for my thumbs, because I find it really a struggle to type because he's got a little Motorola now. Then I got up the keypad and he said, No, those kids are still too small. So if Amazon can actually corner the market on big fat fingers, how will I?
Yes, yes. So finally, just to close this one off, if anybody listening is planning to buy one of these phones, we might need another panelist on this show because we might have to have an Amazon section. So give us a shout. Well,
and there goes Android forking. See?
Yes, yes, exactly, exactly. Windows announced a whole pile of new phones. Microsoft announced a whole pile of new phones at Computex last week. Many from new partners. Now, I think we spoke about some of these new partners. It might have even been the last time we had this exact same panel on. But back in February, we talked about, I'm not going to list them all, but there was a whole bunch of them. Kind of came around. Now, these are budget phones, but they're not for the emerging market. Most of the markets that they're releasing in are United States, Europe, United Kingdom. There's a couple of them are talking about Latin America and things like that. They're all coming out in the next couple of months, but some of these actually look quite interesting for the price, starting at about $115. Which I would expect to probably transfer straight over to pounds to be £115. It's very rare that these things, we actually get the proper dollar value. But these are quite cool. A couple of them look like HTC Ones. What's your thoughts, Chris? Do you like these? Is this a good thing? These are looking like nice phones.
A couple of them are phones that I would actually carry. You know, I'm not too much into the colors, but I know people love that.
Yeah.
It's different colors type of deals. I love the price point of these devices because that'll help people get people in. And Microsoft's been and Nokia have been doing a good job getting the prices down. So some of these looked really nice, especially the one that's the 4.7. I guess it's called the Yes Billy.
Yeah, yeah.
Bill
Gates one.
Sounds like it comes from IKEA.
Or from the South. Yes, Billy.
Yes, Billy.
But yeah, these are okay. You know, they're not phones that have me doing attempting to do a cartwheel. Mm. The only the one that has me excited is the one that again going back into the 3D announcements, potentially will have 3D on it, and that's the one that I'm actually kind of interested in because it seems like they have some really cool. Ideas around how they want to implement it. And apparently Nokia has been working on this type of technology for quite some time, but they're going with more of a 3D touch as opposed to a 3D screen.
So when you say 3D touch, is that kind of like the whole, I forgot the name of it now, where the screen almost feels like there's a button there with kind of like a little
haptic.
That's the word I was looking for, yes.
Well, they're actually what they're trying to do is just kind of get rid of buttons altogether and just allow you to do things like I read one somewhere where like you could just slide your hand down the side of the phone and that turns on the camera. Yeah. Or if you have the phone in your hand and you're on the phone and you put it to your face, it automatically answers if somebody's calling you. So you put it to your
Yeah, I think iOS has some of that. The talk to answer or lift to talk kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And putting it on the and then putting it down on the counter, before today exists where you just flip it over and it silences the ringer, but actually being able to put it down and enable the speakerphone, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's neat.
And then one of the other things they talked about is where the live tiles will be going to the next level as well, what they call kind of like a mixed view. So you could hover your finger over a live tile and, gesture touching it,
and then it
explodes out and then it gives you additional information. So it could be, again, I'll give you the calendar example. You have your calendar, you can see what your next event is, but let's say I hover my finger over and I explode it out and I can see, on one side would be, my next one after that, and the other side would be anything upcoming, later on. So it kind of explodes and gives you all these different views or deeper information, but still using tiles, just gives you multiple tiles.
It would be just as good, Chris, if you could do it, because I've got these live tiles, and every now and then they flip over and see what's the other side. But I wanted to do it. It's like CFAX. I have to wait for it to flip over. And if I click on it, it takes me into the app. So if I could do that, just wave at my phone, that'd
be
really cool.
That extra information
and my friends would be well impressed.
Well, I'd be impressed.
But of course, if taking it to the next stage, though, if you have this bit where you fumble your phone and you drop it and you end up having to grasp it and stuff like that, you end up making your weekly grocery orders by accident.
Chris, I wanted to ask you a question on the pricing on these. The way a lot of these have come in pretty low, and to see all these companies coming into the market, do you think that the major contributor to that that is that Microsoft made the OS free for, what was it, under 9 inches or 8 inches or something like that?
I think it's under...
Is it another 11. 5 or 6 or something?
It's free. I think so. But you know, Nokia's been pushing the price down for quite some time. They got those two Go phones that are a Go phone.
Right, but I meant the fact that all these other companies suddenly jumped in.
Yeah, I would.
That's got to have helped, right?
Yeah, I would definitely think so. That you know, being able to make that extra money up on the devices, awesome. If that was the point, we're going to give you the free. You got to push the price down. So I think you're definitely correct on that. But this particular device is, I think, codenamed McLaren. So I'm actually, this one I'm kind of interested in to see. Another thing is like putting the phone in your pocket hangs it up.
Yeah.
You know, so all kind of little 3D things.
What about in your purse, Chris?
Well, in my purse, there's so much room in there. I don't think it'll hang up. But in anybody else's purse, it might be okay. Do you carry a purse?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course I carry a purse. Yeah, I know.
You're a tech geek.
Well, okay. I get my purse at REI, so technically it's actually a backpack, but it has little flowers on it to pretend it's a purse. that is one of my pet peeves, though, is tech journalists, tech analysts are always talking about, well, when I put it in my pocket... I don't have pockets, guys. You know, understand that there's other world out there of people who don't have pockets.
Yeah. So silly with the whole pocket argument.
I thought we all wore Scotty vests.
Well, we really all should.
Well, Scotty vests don't work in the UK, though. I have a Scotty vest. I bought supposedly the like winter Scotty vest, and clearly it was intended for winter in California because it is not a winter in Scotland Scotty vest.
You mean when it gets down to 62 here?
I have no idea what that actually means in real money. So,
oh, sorry.
I don't know what's
cool. 62 FNC. That is 17.
17 is a blistering warm day here. Seriously. When there's sorry, I'm going to go off now. See, I was just saying to James before the show that I need to...
You're supposed to be in charge, Paul.
It's me that's going to do all these tangents. There's a website called Tapsaf, T-A-P-S-A-F-F, and basically it's a temperature gauge for Glasgow. Hmm. If you do taps-aff.co.uk, and... that basically means taps off is your. Should you have your top off or should you have your top on? And I basically tells
supposed to be about your car,
no,
or your body,
about your body if you're wearing a t-shirt or not. So currently, the Glasgowan weather is taps on, which means keep your t-shirt on. And you can put it in different cities and things like that. It's a fun website. Anyway.
I just want to make sure it was you who was giving us a lecture about how we're going to do the show under an hour today, right? Just check it.
I just like chatting to you guys. I like telling you about these things that happen. And basically that goes to taps off when it goes above 10, which I don't know what that is. Anyway, so we've got that's the Windows Phone thing. There are some interesting phones there. I think that might have quite a bit of an impact potentially at a sort of younger audience, perhaps picking up phones for the new school term and things like that, given that they're all coming out about the time that the schools go back. So we'll see what happens there. Of course, WWDC happened this week. Or rather last week, and there was loads of cool things came out of that. So obviously, the Mac show spoke about a lot of them, the kind of the big headlines around Yosemite, whatever it is. And
Yosemite.
And all those other things that happened.
For the Americans listening to this, evidently in these British Isles kind of places, they say Yosemite.
To be fair,
that's like Vegemite or something.
So, you know, until we actually discussed this, I never made the connection with the park and Yosemite Sam. I always said Yosemite Sam. That must be a weird English thing that James is telling you about. But I never made that connection between the park and that. Because is Yogi Bear not in Yosemite?
Say again?
Is Yogi Bear, is that not where that's supposed to be based?
No. He's in Jellystone.
But is that
totally
not a
different
version of... I always thought Jellystone was a fake version.
But your mind is not that far off. It is a... Yeah. Yeah.
Jellystone's supposed to be Yellowstone.
Yellowstone, right? Okay.
Anyway, right.
So, the catch up on the Mac show last week if you want to hear about any of that kind of stuff. But there's some really awesome stuff. And I have to say, just before we kind of get into this, and I'm sure Alison's got tons and tons of stuff she wants to say about this, family sharing is fantastic for me. That was the one thing when I was sitting...
Explain what it is to people.
So family sharing essentially is I have my account set up with my credit card. And if my daughters want to buy an app or something like that, they request to buy the app on their account and it sends a request to me. Now, at the moment, which is absolutely incredible. Now, I'm sure this was on different platforms and things like that, but it's irrelevant. It's absolutely incredible for me because at the moment, I have to trust that my daughters won't do anything because they know my iTunes password. My two older daughters, who are old enough to know better, frankly, so I'm completely cool with that happening. But this just means that I, for that 2 years where I was kind of when my middle one was about 8 years old to about recently, I was always a little bit nervous. Is she just going to go nuts and end up purchasing things like that? And she was very good and she didn't. But this is incredible for my younger ones coming up and being able to access this and being able to buy apps and get permission. It all uses one account because they're signed on with my credentials and everything like that. It's absolutely incredible. This is huge for me.
I looked at it from a different perspective, just as excited. But Steve, people have two choices. They either completely shared an account, which meant that the parents ended up with that crazy music those kids are listening to today, mixed in with their Barry Manilow, that kind of stuff would happen. But that way they were able to share all the apps and you ran into those dangers you talked about. Or you did what Steve and I did, which is we had separate accounts. But that means if I buy a utility for the Mac or for my iPhone, he has to buy it separately. Yeah. But now we'll be able to put the same credit card on, have our separate accounts, but still share the same applications. And I think they did that was a really, really good thing. And there's also a lot of people who somehow ended up with two Apple IDs. And this will now allow them to merge those back together.
Is this going to merge them as well? I didn't pick that up. That's awesome.
Well, I don't think it merges them, but it effectively they can merge them, right? Because they can just pretend it's two people.
Of course, yeah. Because I went through a period because way back in the beginning, I had a Hotmail account. I created my Apple ID. And then when I kind of got in the Apple ecosystem, I got it was a .Mac, I think, at the time. And I had to, for ages, when I first got my iPhone, I was kind of switching between both accounts. And when I did an update, I had to put in the password for one account, then we'd update all those apps. Then then it gave me the password for the second account, then I popped that in and updated all those apps. So that's awesome. I ended up buying them all again, unfortunately, so that got round that.
Because it just got old, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly the problem.
Yeah.
Well, one of the big things I wanted to talk about, and Chris and I talked about this to some extent on the SMR podcast, was that there's going to be a lot of things you're going to hear about iOS and with Yosemite that in some ways Apple is catching up to Android or Android is still behind or ahead. You know, I think we need to just kind of get all over this, my iOS already had that. You know, I think I might have said that already earlier, but so one of the biggest things is that you're going to be allowed to have any keyboard you want.
Yes.
They did do it in a secure way. They figured out that one of the reasons they hadn't done it before is because they didn't want applications being able to mess around with each other. Mm. And they've come up with a secure way to do that through this extension concept where applications will advertise, I can do this. And other applications will say, who can do this? And then they find each other.
Right. So they're able to get service between applications.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What used to happen before, so one of the favorite apps on the Mac and on iOS is an application called Text Expander that allows you to type a couple of characters and then it expands it out. So like my signature is SIG semicolon, it spits out all the crap I put at the end of my signature. In order for that to work in apps on iOS, the people from Smile Software had to work with every single vendor that they wanted to see that capability embedded in it. And they could never do it into the Apple stuff, but it looks like maybe that's the kind of thing they could do now.
I can't wait to see if they can do that.
I'm going
to
give you a scoop. Okay. I'm going to have Greg Scown from Smile Software, the makers of Text Expander, on my show for this Sunday, and I'm going to be talking about this very thing. Now, he's not going to promise us anything, but I think he'll be able to give us an idea of, is it possible to do what we all are hoping?
Because I want LastPass to do that as well. LastPass, if they could do that, it would be awesome.
Yeah. Wish I knew somebody at LastPass to talk to. I'd love to have that conversation.
Yeah, and that's something that Microsoft talked about in Windows 8 when they first announced Windows 8 was the ability for these apps to kind of talk to a service as opposed to having to talk to each other. So you can have picture sharing, from OneDrive, and it didn't matter where it was coming from or where it was saving to. So it's kind of something they had mentioned earlier, and you kind of see it exists in the Windows 8. So I'm glad that Apple is doing the same thing. And you're right. At this point in time in the game, it really should be enough is enough with the who stole what and who did this, because I'm excited when Apple comes out with something that's really cool, because I know if it's that cool, it's coming to my phone. There's nothing on Android that I ever like. No, I'm just kidding. But if Android comes out with something, it's gonna make it, because people are gonna demand it. Or they're gonna come out with an alternative way to do it, which makes more sense based on the platform. But those kind of conversations are getting old. Much like this other conversation about the app. Yeah, apps. How many apps are in the store? I'm just sick of Apple too.
So I'm glad you brought up the photo sharing thing, because that's another piece that's going to work now is in iOS 7 and previous versions. If you wanted to take a photo and then mess with it, say with Snapseed, I think Google owns Snapseed now, right? If you wanted to go use it in Snapseed, you had to switch over to Snapseed, say, Snapseed, talk to my photo library. It would say, oh, am I allowed to look at your photos? You'd say yes. You bring it up. You'd mess with it, and then it would save it inside Snapseed. Then you would have to go into the folder in Snapseed and say, okay, now put it back over in the folder. That's over. When you open up a photo, you're going to be able to say, I want to mess with this with Snapseed, and it'll mess with it and put it right back in the photo library.
Nice.
And I think that's just a lot of these things, if you're an anti-Apple person, or be going, you might be thinking, it sounds a lot like they're just making things be less stupid than they were. And to some extent, I think that's a valid complaint.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to pitch in with this one, because pictures, yeah, cool. I'm not too bothered about having to go to my gallery to do pictures. I am well into audio. Audio is what I do on my phone now, especially now it can record in stereo, and there's a reasonably good version of it. But the thing is, as soon as you record something in audio, it's like, if it's not a picture, you can't do anything clever with it. And it's a real shame that they haven't really extended it. Maybe video just about, not even video, in fact. Anything which isn't pictures, it's almost like they're using baby steps. They're doing baby steps, it's a great thing. But I still think there's a long way to go to make it so it's versatile enough to be able to deal with much of the media you deal with. I was quite pleased with my Windows phone. Is that now the Windows Phone 8.1 is on there. It's almost got like a file system. You can actually see the file system, and I can grab a WAV file and put it in Dropbox, I think. Yes, I think I can, because now you can actually, it doesn't say you're restricted to any particular type of file. Of course, on the flip side to that is it makes it vulnerable. If you've got a picture, it's very rare that you'll have a picture with some kind of malicious data that can break your phone in it. But as soon as you start opening up to a zip file or something that could potentially be run by the operating system, that's where the danger takes place. But I still think it isn't reaching quite far enough to make the phone a productivity tool for everybody. I mean, for example, to be able to have a document or something, even a rich text file.
iCloud Drive is going to be able to give you that. So iCloud Drive was announced, which works between the Mac, iOS, and Windows, that will allow you to put all kinds of files in there and access them as though you were allowed to look at the file system. So I think you might get your wish with the WAV files.
And actually on the phone? Or do you have to upload it first and then download it again? I'm not really clear.
So it's not overly clear, to be honest, at the moment.
Yet. Yeah, I don't think they've defined it enough.
From the demo,
I think there's hope.
It looked like it was instant, but with all these demos, there's always a little bit of magic involved as well.
I'm sure it's a cloud service, so Apple will do it right.
Of course.
Why don't they just buy Dropbox for the sake? Surely they would.
I was going to say there could be plenty of services they could buy. There's loads of cloud services now out there. Those are the little devices.
Impressive. The other thing that's a massive thing for me when they got announced at WWDC was the video chat in Messages. The audio chat in Messages, I should say. Because Siri is not as awesome, I think it's safe to say, in the UK and possibly other parts of the world as it is in the US. If I want to dictate a message...
That's because nobody can understand you. I barely have any idea what you're talking about most times.
And that's even when I've got subtitles as well. with the audio chat, it means that if I want to record a quick message, so for example, if I'm, if I'm sitting in traffic or something like that and I don't want to tap on the phone, I can, obviously because it's illegal as well, I want to use Siri to maybe send a message to my wife saying I'm on my way or I'm going to be late or something like that. And then Siri comes up and says, what do you want to, the jam is in the strawberry. No, I don't want to say that. I'm going to be late. this way it can send exactly what I'm saying as an audio file and just send it as a tiny little audio file, send it to my wife. My wife knows how to decipher my messages when I'm saying them verbally to her. So it's all okay. And I think that, that's an awesome feature. And it's sort of...
I don't even think I caught that you could do that.
I mean, it's quite minor, but it's you can actually send audio clips in an SMS or a media message, or an iMessage, I should say. And I think that's awesome.
I heard talk of Sherlocking. WhatsApp may well be threatened by that, because at the moment WhatsApp is pretty much the best way to do that. Mm-hmm. But if your phone can do it natively, WhatsApp could be going out the window.
Let's define
Sherlocking for just a second, and then we can talk about whether he's totally wrong or not. So many years ago, there was an application called Sherlock that allowed you to search your operating system on the Mac. And then Apple came out with Spotlight, which caused Sherlock to just basically go out of business. They had no business left. So when Apple embeds something that somebody else has done, and then that business goes out, that's being called being Sherlocked.
Watson was on Windows, James.
Oh, it was Dr. Watson on Windows, was it?
There's one thing you forgot about. It was one huge factor of WhatsApp. It's cross-platform. So that alone is going to ensure WhatsApp is not going anywhere anytime soon. Now you couple that...
Unless Apple comes out with... makes it cross-platform. No, they've done it before. Chris!
I was picking up.
All right, I'm gonna save this recording and play this back for you when it happens.
That's awesome.
That's not fair, because I don't get to play anything back when it doesn't happen.
but in all seriousness, iCloud Drive is going to be cross-platform. They're making it for Windows, so there. It could happen. Okay. Hold your breath, Allison.
It's possible. So WhatsApp is going nowhere.
I got to tell you, though, Chris, the only reason I can stand to use WhatsApp is because I can use my voice to record messages. I hate using the keyboard and having to type.
Especially when you're driving. You know, you don't want a text and drive, but if you can record a voice message, that's a little bit safer.
And I don't even understand why people like it, because I really want to be able to use it on my desktop.
Oh, yeah. I'm there. I have a fantasy NFL league that I play in every year, and they desperately want to move to WhatsApp, and I refuse at the moment. I'm holding out because I don't want to have to pick up my phone to reply to the millions of text messages that happen when the season's on. And because I'm sitting at my desk at work, I want to reply. Annoyingly, they use Facebook Messenger, which is only marginally on the desktop, but that's better than me having to pull out my phone every 5 seconds when somebody's debating something.
If they make you go to WhatsApp, always use audio, so that they have to listen to it while they're at work and stuff.
But I think it's three of them work together as well, so that they sit and discuss it, and then we get kind of a transcript of the conversation. Anyway, I'm going to rabbit hole again.
I was going to say, the great thing about audio is very difficult to... the good thing about audio and the bad thing about audio is very difficult to find a conversation you've had.
Indeed, unless it's transcribed it in some way.
Yeah, it's not tagged. However, there are no misconceptions about what you're saying. When you're pissed off, they're gonna know it.
True.
Yeah, but audio messaging is great, and it's smart for them to add. I'm surprised, actually shocked that it wasn't in there before.
Yeah, it possibly was one of them things that maybe, because it does sort of feel like a step back, but I can totally see the benefits of it, of having it now that it's here. But it does sort of feel like it's a little bit in the past. You want to do the whole Siri thing and you want it to understand you and send it as a text, because that makes more sense. So maybe they didn't do it because they thought it was a reverse step, but I certainly think it's a positive thing.
Well, that sort of goes along with what they did on the desktop. In OS X, you're going to be able to do screen sharing from messages, which my first reaction was, oh, thanks for giving us that back since you took that out. It used to be in there and they took it out. Now it's like, ooh, look what we're giving you. Well, stop taking stuff away and it wouldn't be so much work for you.
But then how would you like it when they give it back to you?
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you, Apple. For stopping beating me.
No more food. Okay, here's a morsel. bow down and kiss the ring.
Look how awesome they are. They gave me food.
I like that better than taking stuff and saying, we just took it and we made it better. That was just such a slap in the face. Oh, texting? We made it better.
And you know, you know who else makes things better?
Who's that?
UK2. Our sponsor this week, and well, always, they provide all of the bandwidth for the British Tech Network. They are absolutely superb. They've been around for years, and they're going to be around for years to come as well. They are amazing. They basically, if you head on over to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors or britishtechnetwork.com and click on the sponsors link, you'll see UK2 there. And they have a whole pile of voucher codes that allow you to get money off free DNS for 2 years, 20% off your domain registration, 50% off your first month of a purchased VPN. Use the click through on our network and use those voucher codes, and you get tons and tons of money off your basket when you're buying any services from UK2. They're absolutely superb. I'm a happy customer of UK2. And also remember, if you're listening to this outside the UK, you can buy their services. Although they're called UK2, you can buy their services outside the UK. Of course, you'll have to pay pounds, but then you'll just feel the pain that we feel whenever we have to buy something from your silly money countries. And it's absolutely awesome. They are superb. They are one of the best hosts I've ever had. I've been around all of them pretty much in the UK, and these guys know what they're doing. Their support is second to none, in my opinion. Use the click through on our website so they know that we sent you. Please support UK2 because they support British Tech. The second person who is awesome, or the second company who is awesome, is the Network Union. They provide the bandwidth for basically the live streams and things like that in and out of British Tech Towers down in Birmingham. And when we get the Northern Studio set up, which is about maybe 6-7 weeks away now, we just got confirmation, they will be providing all the pipes and things like that there as well. They're an authorised BT business partner and they're licensed to sell their global UK services. Basically what they are is you still have your contracts and things like that with BT, but they're a layer of expertise over the top of that. They don't add any fees or margins or anything like that. BT are still your people that you're going to deal with, your contracts, your support and billing. Really no difference at all than dealing with BT themselves, but you get their expertise as an overlay with standard BT resources at no extra cost. Unfortunately, because they're all kind of associated with BT, I'm assuming that this is only a UK thing. So you... if you're outside, possibly wouldn't help you at all. Apologies. So in a nutshell, they're exceptional at connectivity design and they're able to achieve the very best commercials from BT and they remain assigned to your account throughout the contract. Please use the click through on the British Tech site so that we know they send you. They're absolutely awesome people. They are chucking a big lump of money into our Patreon every single month because of the amazing amount of people who have come through and use the click through and everything like that. They're supporting British Tech. They're going to be around for a while. Absolutely great people. So that's British Tech. Excuse me, that's the Network Union and UK2. Please support them because they support British Tech. Folks, have any of you got a pick for us this evening? I am going to start with James. How are you?
And yes, well, my pick, funnily enough, I'm healthier than ever because I've discovered, well, it was one of my colleagues suggested that I have a look at something called MyFitnessPal at www.myfitnesspal.com. And I've not really taken a huge amount of care of myself ever since I used to commute and walk 5 miles a day to my office and back.
Wow.
But now I just get in the car, sit at a desk all day, get in the car and go home. And I ate the same amount. And what MyFitnessPal does...
How'd that work out for you?
It's bad. Very, very bad indeed. I don't know the amount in pounds, but I've gone up. I was weighing myself occasionally. I was just going up and up, and I thought, no, I'm going to have to stop this. And MyFitnessPal is one of these things which is basically a calorie calculator. And you can type in, if you've done like a 10-minute walk at a reasonable speed... You type it in there and it says how many calories you burned. Conversely, you can actually type in what you had for lunch and it adds the calories on. You can have a target for a number of calories per day. I'm on 1,750. I'm hungry, but that's... Oh, I'll tell you what, wandering around yesterday...
That's why you're so cranky.
It's bad. Oh, no, it's actually okay. This time of night, and it's probably best if I don't eat because I'll probably sleep better. But the brilliant thing about it is it's got a massive database of products and you press a button and it scans the barcode of the product and it immediately comes up with the calorific content. So you say, I had 2 fish fillets for dinner, click at the button and it adds the calories. So it's the fact is, although it's a bit of a faff to use, it's quick. You know, obviously anything which is keeping a track of these things, it is a bit of a faff to use. It's not that much of a faff, but the amount I've lost 2.5 kilograms in the last month, and that is amazing. Mm. It really is. The fact that it works, and it encourages me to get out for a walk in the evening, because I know, oh my goodness me, I've only got 10 calories left, and I want a biscuit. It's, you know, it's that kind of thing.
I want to bring up a couple of things about that. I took a metrics class at work once where they explained that the dumbest thing you can do in metrics is to measure the end condition. And the example the guy gave was try weighing yourself every day for a month and then tell me how much it's changed. Doesn't change at all, right? I mean, I tried weighing myself twice a day and I didn't lose any weight. But if you can measure the input and output, then you can affect that end condition. So if you measure your steps, you measure your exercise, you measure your calorie intake, those are the ways that you actually can affect the outcome.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. However, that curious side of me wants to know how I'm getting on.
No. It's okay to do that because you do have to track the output, because if it doesn't change, then you know you're lying, or you're putting down you only ate one fish stick when you actually ate 12 or something like that. You got to check it.
Absolutely. What has to be true to oneself. And like, you've got to be in the right place to do it, because let's face it, if you're really depressed and all you want to do is eat a massive cake. Actually beating yourself up about it is probably the last thing you want to do.
No effect at all.
The other cool thing about this app, I use this to a great amount of effect. Fortunately, I got bored and kind of failed.
I haven't reached that stage yet.
Well, to begin with, what it does as well is if you're like me and you have very, very similar things to eat every day, I'm a creature of habit and I have the exact same thing for breakfast and lunch almost every single day. My evening meal changes, but my lunch and breakfast is almost identical.
Me too.
It saves... it saves all of those things. So you could pretty much just go in and go tick, 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 tick. I had all those things again, done. And it means that you don't have to go in and scan every single item every single day, because it remembers the stuff that you used to use.
And it makes it more noticeable when you do type in half a packet of custard creams.
Yes. I use this, and I have to support James on this. I found this fantastic. I used to play rugby, and I stopped. I was kind of training kind of 3 times a week and playing on a Saturday. And when I stopped playing, I continued to eat and drink at the same rate, gained a huge amount of weight. And I used MyFitnessPal for about 3 months, and I lost 2 stones in 3 months, which is
excellent.
I put it pretty much almost entirely back on again after I achieved it. But you know, tick, life goal, done it.
You know what? I actually lost weight. I didn't use these exact tools. I used Fitbit and another app, but I used it, and it caused me to keep doing it because of the Fitbit tracker and the competitiveness. So if you get something like a Fitbit and match it up with my fitness pal, and then you get some buddies like Chris's friend and mine, Rod Simmons, he's kicking my butt right now. And I'm like, crap, I got to walk an extra mile to catch up to him. So it keeps you motivated. Maybe I'm not tracking my calories anymore because I lost the weight I wanted to lose, but I have stayed fit because I kept the exercise half up. And if you use a tool like a Fitbit or one of those kind of things to measuring how many calories you burn, then you you get in that competitive thing, it's super fun.
Yeah, the competitive thing that I think is a big thing. I had one of those Nike Plus Fuel Band things, and I had nobody that I knew that did it. And so
get on the Fitbit thing, man. We'll kick your butt. We'll see. The one last thing I want to say about this is, if people are listening and they're like, oh, you know, I can do this without measuring, I can lose weight. I read an article that went through and analyzed how much weight people lost based on what they measured or didn't measure. And it turned out all that mattered was you measured something and not how much you weighed. If you measured calories, if you measured carbs, if you did Weight Watchers points, if you measured something that controlled how much you shove in your pie hole, you lose weight. So it doesn't have to be calories. It doesn't have to be points. Measure something, people, and that's what really matters. Thinking that you can do it by just like, oh, I'm just going to eat less. Yeah, right. Sure you are.
I measured the growth of my toenails, and it worked great for me.
Because you couldn't reach down and cut them anymore.
Couldn't reach and cut them. I was like, up, now they're long enough. I can cut them. We're good.
Oh, when they're long enough, not you've lost enough girth.
No, exactly.
Chris, what's your pick for us this evening, sir?
So my pick, I picked this last week on the show, so I figure some of you guys still haven't listened to the SMR podcast, so let me pick it this week on this show, because it's one of my favorite things that I've got going on right now. And I don't know how many folks listening to this show are into car stereos, but I've just picked up the Pioneer AVH 4000 NEX. And what essentially what Pioneer has done is they're allowing greater control into your smartphone from the car stereo. And this is something I've been complaining about for quite some time, which is stop giving me all this crap that's built into the stereo. I just want to pull the information off my phone. I listen to podcasts. I listen to my music. I listen to any kind of streaming that I want to listen to. I don't really need this stuff on the stereo anymore. And so what Pioneer has done is they've created what they call an app radio. So for iOS and Android, it actually has an app that you can get, which gives you direct connection into the stereo. But for Windows Phone users, once the Windows Phone 8.1 releases, we'll be able to use MirrorLink, which is kind of going to be the industry standard for connecting devices to the car stereo. And the Pioneer supports app radio and MirrorLink, which is absolutely awesome. It also has a DVD player inside of it, so you can watch movies on the screen. It also supports an SD card, so you can load up a bunch of movies on an SD card and pop that thing in there. The faceplate is removable, and it just sounds and looks absolutely fantastic. So if you are looking for a new multimedia car stereo, you have to check out what Pioneer is doing with the AVH series. I got the 4000 because it does not include a GPS, which I think is ridiculous to put in a stereo these days. Mm. However, to each his own.
That's pretty cool. It sounds sort of like with our AV receivers now, you don't need a tuner. Like, who actually cares about television? You know, it's all what we're doing, right? over the cable. So you don't actually care about any of that.
I just want my TV to be a screen. I don't want it to have channels. I don't want it to have a tuner. Netflix. I just want it to be able to project. I don't need none of that nonsense. I got everything I need comes off my Xbox and my satellite dish. That's it.
Yep. Very cool. I'm trying to find it in the UK to give a UK price for it, but
it doesn't seem to be available, does it? Which is a shame.
Yeah, but it's $599.98, so $600 US. I found a couple of versions on eBay, but yeah, so you can.
Well, you deserve it after teasing us with that Network Union ad.
Allison, what do you have for us this evening?
I have just found the coolest thing ever. I don't need it, but when I do need it, this is going to be amazing. It's called Ricoh Live. It's an app that runs on the iPhone and on the iPad, and actually there's a Mac component to it that allows you to do a multi-cam shoot using your iPad. You actually do it on the iPhone, but let's talk from the iPad perspective. So you buy this app for $5 and it gives you the ability to switch between cameras where the cameras are other iPhones, other iPads, or your Mac desktop, or your Mac cameras like the iSight camera. And you can switch between cameras and record it. You can do like crossfades between the cameras. Mm-hmm. You can have 1, 2, 3 cameras showing at the same time in that beautiful way that Apple does with the graphics, you know, reflected on the table with the two things at an angle. You can do picture in picture, so you can record yourself in the corner, but like a keynote presentation in the center. It is an absolutely astonishing app for $5 that you could do what, you know, cost thousands of dollars, you know, 2 years ago.
Mm. Yeah, I think. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I think we looked at this one. I think Paul Shadwell found this when we were out in Macworld, I think. Mm-hmm. But it's something very similar to this. And we tried to get it working. We kind of had you and myself and Paul's iPhones all working off of kind of the main iPad as well. And it worked very, very nicely. This thing
amazing. You can also, that's $5. There's another app called Switcher that allows you to do live broadcast, for example, to a site like Justin.tv. And I tested that. It's kind of weird, though. That app is free, but it watermarks it. Not a terrible watermark. It just says Switcher from Ricoh Live in the corner. But to take that off, it costs you $10. But it appears to only do SD broadcasting, because if you tap on HD, it tells you to go buy Ricoh Live Multicam. But I already bought Ricoh Live Multicam, so I don't know whether it doesn't appear that you can broadcast HD. But still, it's a $5 app to do this multicam recording. I'm going to do product demos where it's me, you know, in one picture, and I've got my iPhone set up away from me so that I can hold a device that I'm demonstrating, for example. It's going to be so cool.
It's fantastic.
It does. It's crazy.
This is what iPads are for, as a creativity device. It's not necessarily a consumption device. The amazing amount of, you can use it as a tool, and the versatility really is coming to the fore now, isn't it?
It is.
It looks fantastic.
It is. That is real. I think
for $5, you got to buy it and find out what it does, you know?
Especially with the quality of the cameras. The camera's really good.
Oh yeah. It's amazing. It does an interesting thing. When you're actually recording the video is being recorded on those other devices. So that, say I've got two iPhones and an iPad, the iPad's doing the switching. The two iPhones are actually recording their own video.
Wow.
And then when you finish, you get a folder that has three files in it. It has the camera one, camera two, and then the combined file. And you'll see camera one suddenly have a blue bar go across, then camera two, a blue bar go across. And that's it. Transferring the video from one of the computers to the one of the phones over to the iPad, and then it has to transcode and put it together. So it takes a little while, but using an iPad to do this is astonishing.
It's only £3 in the UK as well.
Yeah, you got to get one.
£3. I'm going to buy
just
it.
For the fun.
Totally. My daughter would love that. She loves making videos and movies and stuff like that.
Exactly. There you go. Watch what she does and then learn.
Totally. My pick is Leo's Fortune. I'm going to do this quickly because we're trying to wrap up here. But Leo's Fortune is $1.99. It won the WWDC Apple Design Awards. So they're having a limited sale. So it's $1.99 just for a short period. It is a gorgeous game. Essentially, you're this little puffball with an amazing moustache. And you're just kind of going along. It's a bit of a platformer, but it's beautifully done. The graphics are gorgeous. And you're just kind of running through sort of mineshaft levels and kind of forests and things like that. You use the on-screen controls are basically your left thumb moves your left and right, and your right thumb either makes you bounce up or kind of come down again. You kind of puff up a little bit for it kind of get stuck in places to miss like spikes and things like that come along. It's an awesome little game for £1.99, and it is gorgeous. Definitely worth it. That's Leo's.
It's really pretty.
It is a really pretty
game. It looks a bit like a PlayStation 4 game, the 3 game, doesn't it? It's got lovely, lush graphics. Is it one of these ones which is over before you know it, though?
I've not completed it yet. I only just found it 2 days ago, so on Saturday night, and I played it for a little bit yesterday and quite a bit, probably about an hour of it yesterday evening, and I've not come to the end yet, so...
Oh, good stuff.
But yes, too many of those games are
slagging.
So that we've come to the end of our show. So a couple of housekeeping things just before we go, because we need to finish in the next 2 or 3 minutes. Otherwise, James's daughter is going to have to walk home. So the first thing is the Patreon. Please head on over to Patreon and chuck us anything that you can. It's patreon.com/BritishTechNetwork. We really appreciate any donation you can give us there. If you can't give us anything, absolutely fine. But if you feel that we're worth a dollar a month, which is approximately 60 pence, then please chuck us a few pennies there. We'd really appreciate it. The other thing to mention is the Bash. The Bash is happening on the weekend of the 11th and 12th of July. We basically have that every year. If you've never come along before, it's an absolutely superb day. The 11th, we have a curry. And it's £10 deposit for the curry. That £10 comes off the cost of your curry at the end. It's just basically hold your seat. One of the best curry houses I've ever been to. It's absolutely gorgeous food. Myself and Ewan will be there. A lot of the other show guys that come on the show. James, are you coming along this year?
Unfortunately not, because my wife has got a first aid course that she can't move, and I'm on charge duty, so I would love to bring them up there, but they've got their... Saturdays are never a good day, unfortunately.
Okay, no worries.
It's a real shame, because it's the first one I've missed in quite a few years.
Yeah.
And if it's sunny, and they've got the little bouncing thing, what are they called?
The space hoppers.
So space hoppers, it's going to be a riot.
Yeah, we had a space hopper Grand Prix last year, which was hilarious. It basically had heats of people kind of going around this course in space hoppers, isn't it? Very good fun. We do some of the shows there. We have games and stuff going on during the day. It's a family thing, so bring along the kids. The tickets are £25, but that basically covers all your food and all your drink for the day. It's going to be catered, and we'll have, last year we had like big kegs of beer and things like that, and there was wine and juice and all sorts of stuff. It was a beautiful day, and so if you can come along, please enter the BritishDineNetwork.com, and you'll see in the big banner at the top there where you order your tickets for the Bash. Now, very, very quickly, James, I'll let you go first so you can go and grab your daughter. So where can we find you?
Thank you so much. On Twitter, I'm S-Y-Z-Y-G-Y, pronounced Syzygy, but it's easy to find. I'm on Google+, and I think I'm still on app.net, but I haven't been there for a little while. I also do a radio show on Mint FM on a Thursday called The Weekendery, because Friday is officially the first day of the weekend.
Nice. Very good. It's a good show. Cheers. As well, so please catch up with that. And thank you very much, James, for coming on this evening. It's been much appreciated.
A very good night to you, and a very nice night to you, Chris and Alison. Cheers.
Nice to talk to you again, James.
Cheers.
Alison, where can we find you?
I'm going to talk really slow so you don't make your 1 hour mark.
I missed it. I'm an hour and 3 minutes.
I am Allison Sheridan from the No Cellacast podcast, a technology geek podcast with an ever so slight Macintosh bias. It's hosted over at podfeet.com. I'm on Twitter at podfeet. I got a fantastic Google Plus community at podfeet.com/Google+. I hate Facebook. And yeah, so a lot of fun. Come join us. Oh, I do my show live on Sunday nights. It's an audio podcast, but I produce it live on Sunday nights, which is kind of fun. Sunday nights in California time at 5 p.m. It's kind of fun because you get to see me making the sausage and making mistakes and getting mocked by people in the show and everything. So it's a lot of fun.
It is. It's a good show. I should actually mention as well, tonight's show, if you've noticed an improved audio quality in tonight's show when you're listening to this, this is entirely from Alison's point of view, or Alison's tutelage is the word I was looking for there. So Alison helped me out with a couple of little funny little things that was happening with my audio.
That was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Hopefully it's a lot cleaner. I really appreciate you spending the time for giving me a hand with that. And also I'm going to try out your friend Dorothy's script tonight as well. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. She said you sounded reasonably clever when you chatted with her, so she thinks you're up for it.
Reasonably clever. Thank you. Thank you. Jeez. And Chris, where can we find you?
You can always find me on Twitter at Big Chris Ashley. You can also find me every week. We're recording the SMR podcast. If you want to talk about a fun podcast with three real friends having real conversations, which could start in tech and end up in somebody's shoe. I don't know where it's going to go, but we always have a good time. You can check us out every week. We record on Tuesday nights. It's actually live now via App Geek Radio.
Alpha Geek Radio.
Alpha Geek Radio. And you can also listen to it on TuneIn Radio on Channel 2 on Alpha Geek Radio 2 on TuneIn Radio as well. Cool. And check us out at smrpodcast.com.
Yeah, another good show. You see, that's the problem with having all these you people on all these shows. I listen to all your shows, and then it just makes my podcast queue huge. I have to find a longer commute to work or something like that so I can listen to everybody's.
You should get rid of everything and just put SMR at the top. I love that show, man.
SMR is a good show.
I always tell the boys, the only thing I don't like about being on it is that I don't get to listen to the SMR podcast. This week, I'm just sitting there going, wait till next week.
You can find me, I'm at Paul Wheatley on Twitter. You can find me, of course, on this show every other Monday. And you can find me on The Gamer Show on Alternative Mondays. This Monday coming, we will have a wrap-up of E3. That should be quite good fun. We've obviously been recording this during the Microsoft announcement, so I'm quite keen for to see everything that Microsoft has announced while we were on the air. Thank you very much for your ears this evening. It's been much enjoyable using them, and we will see you in 2 weeks. Good night.